Welcome to the show. Iowa Nation Sports Talk rolling your way on a Tuesday. He's Jesse Stiers. I'm Sean Stiers. You're all cubbed out there, it looks like.
Yeah, that was the theme today. Didn't want to wear any of my Cowboys stuff. And I wore Notre Dame stuff yesterday. So
who can blame you? Yep.
That's where I'm at.
Who can blame you one bit? Well, we're going to cover a lot of Army today with Notre Dame, of course, an unbeaten Army going head-to-head at Yankee Stadium. Did you see the unveil last night that Army did for their Army-Navy games? They're honoring the 101st Airborne for their defense of Bastogne, Battle of the Bulge, World War II. Did you see
that? Yeah, I did see those. I think they look pretty sweet, actually. But I thought it was pretty funny that they did it the week that they're not playing them yet. I was like, why do this?
It kind of seemed bizarre. Like, where are you,
I would promote are you doing this so that now? You're playing in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little surprised by that as well. It's like, we're undefeated. We're playing Notre Dame. We're unveiling our commemorative uniforms for the Army-Navy. I mean, they look really cool, you know, like the whole – and did you watch the video of the whole deal by any chance? So, like, the thing General McAuliffe with nuts, you know, when the German commander asked for the surrender of the U.S. forces who were encircled there in Bastogne in the Ardennes, and General McAuliffe replied, nuts! Well, apparently it says Army on the back with the dashes and the exclamation point. And that's kind of what that commemorates. So that's kind of a cool little touch. And, you know, of course, it's got, you know, Bastogne and it's got the, you know, like the logos and all that stuff. So really, really cool little thing that they're doing. Two of your great grandfathers were served at the Battle of the Bulge around Bastogne. Did you know that?
I did know that, and I
figured they weren't in the 101st, but they were at Bastogne in the Battle of the Bulge.
I figured you and my grandpa would appreciate those jerseys more than I would, but I know what they signify.
Yeah, I know. I knew you would know what they signify, but so cool stuff. You know, again, I wonder. You know, are they just going to wear their regular uniform this week? Notre Dame's not going to have their regular uniform.
Shamrock series.
Yeah, baby. We'll see what people think of those. If they didn't like the blue jerseys with the white pants against Georgia Tech a few weeks back. So, all right, well, we're going to jump into Army deep here in a second, but I do want to tell you, of course, about my bookie, the one book that's got your back with no fluff, no second guessing, and just straight up action with you in total control. At my bookie, it's never about guessing. It's about giving you the edge so that every bet you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football and you love to win, then MyBookie was made for you. And if you're new to the game, here's where to start. Take our promo code IRISH, and it'll double your bankroll with 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. That's more money, more power to make winning plays. So bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with MyBookie, the sportsbook that gives you control and rewards for every moment of play. Well, they are. What's that?
I said I used my bookie last night to win the easiest touchdown. I just did Joe Mixon straight touchdown and won me. That was the only bet I placed last night. I won some good money off. I knew Joe Mixon was scoring last night.
I don't want to hear it. I was going up against it came down to the guy I was playing against in fantasy football had Joe Mixon, and I knew that I was going to lose. I knew I needed a little bit bigger. I needed 140 points, and that's what I was thinking as the late Sunday afternoon games, like as I was getting ready to get on the plane to fly back from Pennsylvania. I'm like, I need something from DeAndre Hopkins here. I just, you know, I need a little bit more. Didn't quite get it, though. So
I haven't told you yet. I lost in one of my fantasy football leagues. All the guy had left was the Texans defense, and I lost by 1 point. And the Texans defense had an interception, a fumble recovery, a touchdown, 5 sacks. All of it went into it. And as soon as they got that strip sack for a touchdown last night, I was like, well, that's probably the end of my time here. And
one, and it was.
One sack later, there I was. So Houston scoring 18 points on defense last night beat me in fantasy football. So
singes the nostrils. All right. Oh, it always hurts. It always hurts. All right. Well, they're not, you know, no commemoration of, you know, something as important as the Battle of the Bulge this weekend, but it is obviously the 100-year anniversary of the Four Horsemen, Stoll, Dreher, Miller, Crowley, and Layden. These two teams, I mean, this is like a, this is pretty historic as college football became more modern, you know, when things changed really in the 50s and especially in the 60s, that's kind of when this series went away and Notre Dame and Army have just kind of played sporadically over the years. But I mean, they played every year from 1913 to 1922 at West Point. And then Yankee Stadium is built in 1923. They go to Brooklyn that year. And then the next year, 1924, the year after Yankee Stadium is built, they go to the Bronx and they play in Yankee Stadium. Interestingly, both the LA Coliseum and Yankee Stadium built in 1923, and then Notre Dame played in both of those facilities against USC and Army in 1924, the following year. So, you know, they're getting back together this weekend, and Marcus Freeman talked a little bit about facing Army and the history of it, you know, that kind of comes with it.
Oh, it's an honor. You know, I remember when Jack Swarbrick, you know, told me that this was going to be our Shamrock Series game for this year. The first thought was Navy and Army in the same year. Come on, Jack. And then he told me why. And, you know, Jack was such an innovative mind. He never went to have a Shamrock Series game just to have it. But he said, what better Shamrock Series opportunity to have a game in New York City versus Army 100 years later after the Four Horsemen were named. And I think it's a great opportunity. You know, just doing my history, my research on who the Four Horsemen were. I know one of them's from Massillon, which is a shout out to my wife. She's a Massillon Tiger, and I know two of them for Ohio. So, you know, there's a little bit of connection there with the Four Horsemen. But it's an amazing opportunity to play a great program that has a lot of history and is a top 25 program. It's going to be a great challenge on Saturday night.
Well, it's obvious that Tommy's not here, because as soon as Marcus Freeman said Massillon, you know that Tommy would have been sounding off. But Harry Stoll Dreher, by the way, the Four Horsemen, who's from Massillon, Ohio. So Jess, what did you think when you heard that Notre Dame was going to play Army this year? And what do you think about it now?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was kind of a lot of what Marcus Freeman was saying. It was like, ah, you know, we got to play two of the academies.
Yeah.
Both of these teams are going to run triple option. I think that's the tougher part, is the toll that it takes on your body. Even if you play well and win, still very physical games. You sometimes, you know, wonder if your team is going to be, you know, be able to bounce back after the triple option weeks and play well. So, like, even if Notre Dame wins, how do they perform against USC going out to LA the week after? I think that's some of the stuff that's taken into consideration. But on the flip side, again, kind of echoing what Marcus Freeman was saying, is you respect the history side of things. You understand why they're doing it. And I think it makes it more fun that Notre Dame adds, you know, that they're unveiling the Shamrock Series uniforms, that they're playing inside Yankee Stadium. It kind of dresses the game up for maybe some of the fans who get a little bit frustrated about, oh, why do we have to play the academies? Why do we have to play two in the same season? And that sort of argument. So I look forward to the games. And I think you hit the lottery this season with Navy and Army both being ranked teams going into the matchup. Like, that is
absolutely,
like, that is absolute, like, hit the jackpot twice, right? And so I think this season it feels even better for that reason as well. You when you played Navy, they were undefeated and ranked, and it's not your fault kind of that they went on the down spiral, I guess, after. And it's,
well, it might be Notre Dame's fault. Maybe they started it.
Well, then it's not your fault too that Army is undefeated, and yes, do they have one of the worst schedules in the country? Sure, but it's still a resume builder. And on the flip side, if Army were to beat Notre Dame, they would likely catapult, you know, towards the top 15 rankings and maybe even be the group of five winner to come out at that point. So, you know, there's still a lot of implications for Army. Notre Dame should handle business, but it's a fun game. And I look forward to it for all of the stuff that I was kind of just talking about.
Bottom line is, you know, just what you said, initial thoughts, Army. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, Yankee Stadium. Well, that's kind of cool. And obviously they had to do it because of the whole Miami University, you know, the Miami Hurricanes scheduling snafu. Miami,
right.
You know, for people maybe who have forgotten, Miami was supposed to be on the schedule this year. Sorry, I've got a little bit of a just a cruddy kind of thing in my head the last couple of days.
So do I.
So, yeah, you know, Miami was supposed to be there. They replace it with Army. Miami overscheduled, and so that's going to, you know, Notre Dame's going to get them up here in a couple of years, actually. So, you know, you get that, and then it's like, all right, Shamrock Series, and you check out the Shamrock Series uniforms. Wasn't thrilled about those when I first saw them, but then when they kind of describe it, and again, there's like, you know, the whole gray that they're using, the blue gray, you know, the blue gray October sky kind of theme that they're going with these uniforms. And again, the 100-year anniversary of the Four Horsemen. It's actually a pretty cool deal that they're doing. And then just a massive bonus, like you said, it's like now, you know, like when you're looking at Notre Dame's schedule, especially at the start of the season, it's like, where's the meat? And everybody thought that it was going to be Florida State and Texas A&M.
USC.
And it's turned out to be the two service academies in Texas A&M, you know, that have really provided. Yeah, I mean, USC was supposed to be better at the start of the season as well. So big difference. So, I mean, it's turned out to be very nice that Notre Dame in late October and now mid-November got Army and Navy both undefeated and ranked at the time that they played them. So.
You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Kyle Wade, I don't know if this is a challenge or if he's just throwing his own Russian knowledge out there. He says, Kak dela, tavarish, Sean. How are things going, comrade Sean, is what Kyle is throwing in there. Little Ruski in the chat tonight.
You still like remember it. All that?
I mean, that's
easy.
That's fairly basic. I mean, that was literally phrase. Probably the first month of, you know, 12 months of very, very basic stuff. So
you've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
It is another option team, Army. You know, as we saw, Navy had some wrinkles to their offense this season, and Marcus Freeman talking this week about how this is a different option than the one Navy is running.
I met with the defensive staff, and the first thing we said is the biggest mistake we can make is think this is Navy 2.0. It's not. It's a different offense. They do some different things. They got a different identity and present a different challenge. Yes, it's still a version of the triple option, which you see with, you know, some of the military schools. But they run it with different personnel. But they're led to me by their own line. They come off the ball. They're physical. They're big, bigger than what you usually see when you play academy schools. But it's going to be a great challenge on all three phases. They're aggressive in the special team. I think they think since 2020 they blocked more kicks than anybody else in FBS. And so all three phases present some issues that we have to be prepared for.
There's the old mute button. They've been firing all cylinders for the most part. I don't want to, you know, like be coughing and hacking while the, you know, things are going off. So I've been muting myself off and on a couple of times. But I don't know, Jess, do you want to throw up some whiteboard right now? You want to talk a little bit about Bryson Daly, the quarterback, first before we get into the whiteboard? What do you want to do?
I think if you give a nice intro to Mr. Daly, it would kind of back up, I think, where this whiteboard is largely headed, because I think he is the most central figure of their offense. And when talking about a difference, I think what they do with him and how he runs the ball is ultimately the difference. So why don't you get into that a little bit?
And I mean, he will throw, but like Navy throws about twice as much as Army. Like Blake Horvath, the Navy quarterback, has 118 attempts. He's 69 of 118 for over 1,100 yards. Daly, 29 of 51 for 644. And, you know, like, kind of like what you
throw
expect
when they have to. It's like third and long.
Right. They throw much more. Now, they'll try to, you know, just like Navy, they'll try to catch you off guard and stuff like that. But to me, like, watching them, I mean, he looks like an option quarterback, you know, the way he throws the ball. You know, there's not a whole lot of skill, not a whole lot of precision to it. He's like, what, about a 56% completion percentage, that kind of stuff. They do line up, of course, in the wing T, you know, just as, you know, what you would expect from an option offense and all that. I'll go ahead and I'll play this cut for Marcus Freeman about Bryson Daly, and then we'll talk about him a little bit.
I think he is you know, a guy that has experience. I know he missed two games ago, I think 2 weeks ago, but he's back from injury, makes really good decisions, you know, can run the ball if he needs to, but also can throw it if he needs to. But what he does is run the offense efficiently, doesn't put him in bad positions, and he does a great job of taking care of the football.
All right, so there you go.
I fear there's going to be lots of commotion.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's already commotion. Henry threw me off there. You know, Daly is fairly similar dimension to Blake Horvath. He's a little thicker. He's a little bit shorter. He's 6 foot, 221, whereas Horvath, you know, a little bit taller, 6'2", and right around 200 pounds. I don't know, you know, again, he's going to throw a lot of his success that I've seen kind of, you know, looking at some of their film and stuff like that is not necessarily traditional option stuff. It's like straight up quarterback ISO, QB follow, QB power, whatever you want to refer to it as. He just follows the fullback through a hole and, you know, they kind of let him do his thing. And again, he's got over 1,000 yards. So it's been very, very successful for him so far this year. You know, they just kind of body up. Their offensive line just kind of bodies up and they're able to move the other defensive line off the ball. I mean, it's been successful for who they've played. But, you know, let's be honest. They played Lehigh, Florida Atlantic, Rice, Temple, Tulsa, Alabama, Birmingham, East Carolina, Air Force, and North Texas. You know, so I think that they have been able to be very physical with those teams so far.
Yeah, so a lot of you kind of got into the thing I was going to get into with this whiteboard a little bit is.
Do it.
They, you know what? Why don't I just present my
screen? It's the beauty of the whiteboard, right?
Okay. Bring that in, I guess, if you can.
All right.
Nice. Okay. So we are good to go. I finally got my work at home setup going. So it is in much better condition now. I should have no more issues. But you know, the main thing that you have to look at in terms of differences between Navy and Army, I feel like Navy wanted more so of a balanced attack between attacking, you know, downhill between the tackles on the perimeter and then incorporating some sort of passing game. I would say 80% of Army's offense is quarterback and fullback.
Yeah.
And I don't think I think the thing that Marcus Freeman is saying that's going to be the biggest difference, I don't feel like Army's going to attack Notre Dame on the perimeter. Notre Dame has way too fast of athletes that can cover space, and watching some of, you know, Army stuff on the perimeter, I don't think they'll use it, but it won't be nearly as much as what I think they're going to do with the inside run. And then what you were talking about, just straight up QB power, QB ISO, fullback dive. I think they're going to try to abuse Notre Dame through the A's and B gaps and then maybe expand to the perimeter and into the passing game. But I think that's where they're going to really try to exploit Notre Dame. And that's, again, the difference that I think Marcus Freeman was trying to tell his coaching staff is, we need to be ready for that kind of warfare, you know, more so in the trenches, up front, very physical kind of football, not more so like Navy. Now Navy wants to kind of spread you out a little bit, get you on the perimeter, get you in the passing game a little bit, get you into some RPO looks. I mean, Army's quarterback isn't going to pass the ball unless he absolutely needs to, like 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, maybe a 4th and 5, 4th and 6, if they want to keep the chains going. But I saw the drive I watched a majority of, they kept the ball for 14 minutes against North Texas.
Wow.
And went all the way down the field. It was like a 90-yard drive. And they had like at least 2 or 3 third downs. Like these
wasn't it like 20 long. Plus plays or something like that?
Yes. And all of them start with this sort of now that we kind of have the precursor. I mean, they're going to run the traditional wing tee a lot. That doesn't mean that, you know, he'll still get in shotgun too. You right. know what I mean? He'll get back here. But it's the same principles at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if he's under shotgun under center or in shotgun. The basis of this thing is fake fullback dive on every play. And then I would say majority of the time he's either following or running kind of a counter, you know, and wherever he finds an opening, honestly, is I feel like where he's going most of the time. And again, they'll still kind of, you know, bring these guys in motion and do the typical window dressing. But I still think that 70% of this, 80% of this offense is going to be between the tackles. And another thing to notice as well that I saw is they use different fullbacks as well. They have kind of what I would say more of a stockier fullback. And I think they have a guy who's more or less the guy that they want to actually run the ball
who when runs he's in a fullback. Yeah.
I think his name number is like 33 or something. He's just in there to lead block most of the time. You know, like he might get it on like a second and 1, a 3rd and 1, a 4th and 1. But that guy's majority going to be in there just to be a lead blocker, you know, in some sort of power scheme coming off the quarterback. And then when they have a number 6 in there, he's probably what I would say is their best runner outside right. of the quarterback. I think he runs the ball very well. He is a fullback by, you know, where they put him in this offense, but he looks more like a running back, like a stockier kind of running back that they have play fullback. But, you know, this fullback's going to put his hand in the dirt every time. They're going to be downhill and get on you. And this quarterback, I think he's going to be the difference maker of whether or not this is a long game for Notre Dame. If he keeps the ball, you know, where is he going? Is he going A? Is he going B? He's got all these options. And I think that's what makes it so hard is I don't think it's predetermined. I think he hikes the ball, fakes the fullback dive, and he's like, well, where am I going to go run the ball? And that's ultimately where he goes. And again,
he makes the read, and that's what makes any option so successful is they're reading what the defense gives them. You know, it's not predetermined.
And so I that's where I think the creativity from Al Golden would kind of have to come from is what are you doing with your front four and your internal linebackers to kind of mix up, what he's seeing in different gaps, right? Like you can't just put your nose or your three tech in the A gap every time. I think you have to kind of change up where these guys are coming from and how they're filling these interior gaps. I mean, we know that defensive line and linebackers are, fullback dive, right? And then if this quarterback breaks off to the perimeter, that's where you got a safety kind of coming downhill and helping on the quarterback. But if the quarterback stays in between the tackles, that's on the defensive line and the linebackers to kind of, figure out essentially. Anything that gets to the perimeter, that's when you'll involve kind of your safeties coming downhill, your corners coming, crashing down as well. But I just think this game's largely going to be predicated around their quarterback and a lot of just QB power and QB ISO.
No, I agree. I mean, based on everything that they've shown, what they've done this year, that's the majority of their offense. I mean, that's why he's, like Noah Short, he's one of their wings. He's got 11 catches this year. And then one of their wide receivers, Casey Reynolds, has 12 catches. And they both average over 23 yards per catch. Short averages 23.5, and Reynolds averages 27. So, again, they'll try to throw it over the top a little bit every now and then and kind of catch you napping. That's something that we talked about when we talked about Navy before, about, when you do get caught napping and get your eyes peeking in the backfield and that kind of stuff. I mean, I think the key, just because of the pure athleticism standpoint, Notre Dame's corners, Notre Dame's secondary, it's a complete mismatch in Notre Dame's favor, but they can't get sucked up and then, try to have to, make up that ground on the back end if Daly tries to throw over the top, which they've done a few times this year. What strikes me is Daly's longest run of the season is only 36 yards.
Well, he's not a fast guy. He doesn't have breakaway speed, really.
Yeah. I mean, Horvath is faster, right?
Oh, 100. I'd say Horvath is faster, and he's more athletic and more dynamic than what this quarterback is. This quarterback's just kind of like a battering ram.
He's just physical. Yeah.
Yeah. He just gets behind his guys and throws his body kind of in there. And this is an interesting matchup, too, because of Howard Cross's health as well. Notre Dame, let's not forget, Notre Dame is thin on the defensive line, right? A lot of younger talent. And that's not to say that they're not going to perform well, but this is a game where maybe lack of depth and experience amongst the defensive line can cause for a closer game than what might be comfortable for a little bit, at least to start, because Notre Dame got very lucky against Navy that they started with all those turnovers. That doesn't usually happen. That you don't start to feel good about an academy team usually until the second half, barring a lot of first half turnovers. So I think Notre Dame cannot take for granted, what happened against Navy. It's going to be a more physical game. I think it's going to be more a controlled tempo game as well. Like when Army has the ball, they're going to hold on to that thing. They're going to get a couple first downs, but Notre Dame as well has to be deliberate with their drives as well. Like they can't have empty drives and missed opportunities that could potentially come back later in the game.
I mean, that's the key to the whole thing. You just, if you're Army, if you're Navy with that offense, you can't get behind the chains. You can't get off schedule in terms of you're down in distance. If you're picking up 3 yards a pop in that option, you're feeling,
and they'll go for it on fourth and one.
Right. But Notre Dame's aspect is you can't get behind in terms of, that's why things worked out so perfectly for the Irish against Navy. They got the ball first, went right down, scored a touchdown. The Navy fumbles the ball right away, something they hadn't done all year. Next thing you know, it's 14-0 and the whole complexion of the game has changed, So Notre Dame's offense just has to hold up its end of the deal is what it comes down to. They've got to be able to keep. Now, again, this Army team is, I do think it's going to be more physical than the Navy was. But at the same time, you know, again, it's like I look at who they played. I feel like it has been fairly easy for them to be pretty physical against the teams on their schedule. And just like the, you know, the talent, the size, the athleticism mismatch that Notre Dame had against Navy, it's going to be there. It won't be maybe quite as large against Army as Navy, but there's still going to be a pretty big disparity, I think, between the two. I mean, like, do you agree with that based on everything that you've seen of them?
Yeah, I would. I would agree too. Like, it's, I don't think it's just like overwhelming, you know, Army is just going to control the line of scrimmage and stuff, but I mean, they're going to be bigger. They're going to be more physical, but I do, it's like, if Notre Dame just needs to play how they, you know, how they're supposed to, have a good week of preparation in terms of, you know, preparing for the triple option. And luckily for them, they've had two bye weeks before this. And that's something Marcus Freeman has talked about, is, you know, finding ways to be productive on those bye weeks. And I know that they got in some, you know, triple option kind of homework during those times. So it's the shell of the thing is still the same. You know, the grand scheme between Army and Navy is still the same. I just think that I think this bodes well because of, you know, we're talking about academy schools, but their point of attack, I think, is a little bit different. Army's mm-hmm. point of attack is downhill, you know, between the tackles, mainly between the guards. I'd really say, if you want to get even more precise about it. And Navy's point of attack was this, you know, kind of you know, down the middle, on the perimeter, through the passing game. They had multiple kind of points of attacks that they were dynamic and good at. But Army, it's just their point of attack is going to be right down the middle. I don't like watching a lot of their kind of, you know, jet sweeps and options onto the perimeter. I just don't see them having guys with the athleticism and the speed to turn the corner on right. Notre Dame, unless it's some sort of, you know, kind of trickery play where they've got the defense and linebackers' eyes, you know, flow in one direction. And kind of somehow they maybe hit you on like a reverse or something. Maybe that's how they can secure the edge, but I just don't trust in their perimeter play, you know, their wide receivers, their wing backs being able to secure the edge against Notre Dame.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I mean the biggest question is how big are those holes that Daly is trying to run through, and how quickly does Notre Dame close them up, really? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to me. I mean,
and you can't get lulled to sleep either, because I think they're going to try to, you know, force feed this thing down the middle, down your throat, and then also maybe, you know, try to hit you on something quick on the perimeter, just trying to catch you napping, essentially.
Right. And I mean, that's stuff that Navy tried as well. They just were not very successful in that game. And obviously the turnovers went a long way. And, you know, Navy, or Army, rather, in terms of takeaways, is fairly solid. You know, Notre Dame is just been an exceptional team in terms of takeaways now this season. I think we went through some of the defensive rankings on yesterday's show, but Notre Dame tied for number one in the nation with 25 takeaways now this season. Army is number 54 with 14 takeaways, but their total defense is number five. Are you done with the whiteboard? Should we take the whiteboard off? We'll talk just a little bit about their defense here for a second. For a minute or two or three or, you know, whatever it happens to be. I mean, they've been a pretty good defense this season. And Marcus Freeman had a few thoughts on them, starting with kind of how they are against the run.
I think one is personnel. They got some good D linemen. They do a good job. They do a good job of simulating some pressures where, you know, you might be thinking a five-man pressure's coming, a six-man pressure's coming, and it ends up being four guys. And so they just do a good job of saying, we're not going to let you run the ball. You know, and we got a mindset that, hey, we still want to run the ball. We got to find ways to get hats on hats. But the other thing I think they do is they move, right, is they're not stagnant. They're not your typical just three down and they don't move. They're able to move the front and be aggressive. Change the leverage on you, which is a challenge when you change the leverage on an offensive lineman post snap. It creates some difficulties.
They are number three in the nation rushing yards allowed at 82.6. Indiana, by the way, number one in the nation in terms of rush defense. But Army has the number five total defense, number 23 pass efficiency defense? Anything that stands out to you about Army's defense, Jess?
I guess what ultimately kind of stands out is, yeah, their ability to stop the run. I mean, where teams have kind of gotten them is in the passing game. But I don't think that that's something that, you know, Notre Dame should ultimately get kind of spooked by. I honestly think it should be something that Notre Dame kind of looks. I'm going through all of their game logs right now very quickly here on the back end. I don't think they've had a 100-yard rusher. No one's rushed for over 100 yards on them this season, which is kind of crazy. I think the closest guy was Tulsa, and he had 17 carries for 82 yards. So they haven't had a 100-yard rusher this season. So, you know, if I'm Notre Dame, I honestly kind of think of that as a challenge. I don't think it's something that Notre Dame needs to come out and say, oh, we can't run the ball, we have to beat you in the passing game. I still think Notre Dame can take this as a challenge and say, you know what, we can really challenge our run game and see if we can exert our dominance on a team that's, you know, good at stopping the run, a team that is, you know, physical in the trenches, like we talked about, and then kind of work the pass off of that more or less. So, you know, what also plays into this is the talent that Army has played as well. Like they obviously haven't played as a dynamic of a rushing attack of, you know, Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, Riley Leonard. Like these are all very dynamic runners that they haven't gone against. So I'd like to see Notre Dame exert its will in that run game and really kind of prove, hey, like we can run on anyone, you know, like this isn't, you know, oh, we're playing Purdue or, you know, whoever on crappy defense. We can run on just about anyone. And we can, you know, open up our pass game as well as at once we establish the run game.
I mean, athletically, those three guys for Notre Dame, Leonard, Price, and Love, are going to be the three best athletes that Army has seen all season on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, no doubt.
And when you know, like you talk about challenging the perimeter, you know, like them trying to challenge the perimeter of Notre Dame when they're on offense, whether it's the perimeter, you know, like that's a place that I think Notre Dame can definitely win. You know, I think that they can win between the tackles as well. But, with guys like Love and Price coming out of the backfield and even, you know, again, like Riley Leonard with his, you know, not just skill, but the speed that he has as well. I mean, we've seen it against he moves so effortlessly past everybody. And I think that is going to like Army is going to take notice of that very quickly, you know, because like you remember when Notre Dame played Navy, their coach said after the game, it's like that's a team of NFL guys, you know, like he knew that they were in for something, you know, from a physical and athletic standpoint when they played Notre Dame and the score obviously showed that. And I just think that that's going to catch Army's attention pretty quickly as well, that they haven't seen anything like that all season. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk for Notre Dame, but I'm also just saying like there's a huge difference between anything that Army has played this season and Notre Dame. They haven't played a Power 4 team.
No, I agree. It's life is going to come at them fast on Saturday. And all we can do is hope that Notre Dame capitalizes on the situation. You know, there should be no – this is what I've seen or what I've enjoyed most out of the last, you know, however many weeks since it's been since NIU is Marcus Freeman has been nothing but foot to neck the entire time, right? And that's what this game has to be is you just have to come out here and physically exert your will the entire game and not feel bad about it at all. Don't let them up for air. And do everything possible because I think when you get out of that mindset and you get into that comfortability, and especially against a team like Army, Navy, who can really control the clock and potentially kind of take the ball out of your hands by just, you know, them having the ball themselves, you can fall into that more lackadaisical kind of, oh, you know, it happened mindset, and then more of those compile, and that's when you get into the NIU side of things. And so I just think as long as Notre Dame comes out and keeps that kind of mentality of, you know, we're here to exert our will the entire game and we're right, not going to let you back up. That's ultimately what's going to have to, I don't think there's really an in between when you play these games. You're either going to blow out Army and do what you're supposed to, or it's going to be a really uncomfortable kind of one possession game like we've seen before in some of these academy games.
Right.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Excuse me, exactly. And, you know, just like Marcus Freeman, he said it yesterday, and he's been saying it for the last few weeks as well. He's talked about this is the Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl, you know, like in terms of mentality and preparation and those kind of things. You know, it's like we have to take this like it's the Super Bowl, and that has to be the mentality. So I do feel like there's been a completely different shift of mindset that this team has had over the course of the season. We've talked about the lessons that they've learned from NIU. So Jeremy comes in. He's a little more polite than I think it was it Troy last night.
Yes, it was.
Do we think all the passes against Virginia was practice for what they've seen they can exploit with Army? Just wondering, because we were throwing a bit more, and we kind of touched on this a little bit.
Well, I think a big part of it in that game, Notre Dame, one of their biggest, I think, flaws in that Virginia game is they were getting behind the chains early. A lot of kind of first and 15s, first and 20, you know, just kind of pre-snap penalties, holdings, false starts, illegal formations, stuff that drives Marcus Freeman crazy. And so I think that's, you know, part of the reason why you saw a lot of the passing. And then, you know, as well, I think you have to ultimately giveth, you know, what the defense is taketh from you, you know, like if they're going to take away Riley Leonard in that aspect of it, you can't just force feed him and just be like, you know what, Riley, like just go do that anyways, you know, like, so I think naturally some of it is what they game plan Notre Dame for. And I think they wanted Notre Dame, you know, to have to pass the ball, but
they tried to make Leonard beat him a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But luckily for Notre Dame, is they have a three-headed monster back there. Just because you take away Riley Leonard doesn't mean you've taken away Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, and I would say the fourth little kind of baby head is popping up too with Aeneas Williams. He's becoming someone who's very reliable and dependable, you know. And so it's like, just because you take away one of them doesn't mean you take away Riley Leonard's arm or any of the other running backs that are also really dynamic.
Did you see Jeremiah Love's quote from after the game, by the way, where he was asked about, you know, having a touchdown in the 10 consecutive games. And he said, well, I'm aware of it now. And then he said, I got breakaway speed, track meet after that.
And that goes back to what we're like, Army. If Jeremiah Love is pulling away from some of these Power Four teams, just I you have to wonder how quickly he can pull away from a team like Army, you know? It comes down to execution. You just have to execute at a high level on a very clean level, too. And just kind of the stuff I talked about, too. Against the academies, I feel like the pre-snap penalties are even more of a you know, hyper-focus, right? Like, it all comes down to staying ahead of the chains, controlling the ball, and finishing possessions. You can't have empty drives. You got to score. And you can't have the mental mistakes that can set you back. Because more often than not, the academy teams are super disciplined. You know, like, they don't commit a lot of the penalties, the turnovers, the stupid mental mistakes. Like, they are some of the top trained athletes / you know, soldiers that this country has.
Love and Leonard combined for 185 yards and 3 touchdowns against Navy like a month ago. They both averaged over 8 yards per carry against Navy. And, you know, and again, these are two different teams, but at the same time, athletically, physically, they're going to be very, very similar. You know, so like, you can talk about the turnovers that Navy committed and how that played a part in the game. It did, but you do also have to credit Notre Dame for capitalizing on that, for taking the ball.
Well, and applying
the pressure. They were very efficient offensively in that game. And I think that we're just going to see more of the same in this game. You know, I don't think it's going to be quite as lopsided as the Navy game, but, you know, again, I think we're going to see a fairly comfortable margin for Notre Dame. Don't you? Like, do you disagree with that at all?
No, I think Notre Dame has. I'm actually kind of on the other thought side of the thought process on this one. I think Navy has more athleticism to kind of keep that score maybe a little bit closer.
You think Navy does?
Yeah, I think Army, if they get down, it's floodgates are open. I think that they could potentially lose like 49-0 type of game.
Basically. Oh, wow. So I think Army could be worse just because, again, like, of the way that they have to operate their offense.
Yeah, like, it's
not as dynamic.
Okay. They're just not as dynamic to potentially come back and get you. Because what are they going to do if they're down 21? Line up in shotgun and ask a guy who can barely throw a 15-yard hook route, you know, right, comeback route? Like, it's going to be bad news bears at that point, you know? And it's like, well, and then you could also say, well, maybe it won't be as bad because Notre Dame, you know, they'll still be running the ball. The clock will be running, less incompletions, like that sort of stuff. But if Notre Dame gets out to a lead like they did against Navy, it's going to be even worse for a team like Army because they don't have as many ways to come back and you know, move the ball, essentially. They rely
that's fair because
so heavy on that run.
The quarterback is averaging almost 25 carries per game, you know, Bryson Daly. That's a really good point, actually. So when you're asking him to run all these quarterback ISOs, quarterback pounding, all the pounding that he's already been taking, and that's the majority of their offense, 25 carries a game is him, and now you're behind by a couple of touchdowns. I think that's a great point, actually, that's hardly sustainable to try to come back in that fashion if that happens.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate for Army because it's like their formulas for winning are so small, you know, like, mm-hmm, they need this specific thing to go right majority of the time or else they're going to lose. But it's hard to say because it's like, obviously their formulas work so far, they're undefeated, right? So it's like, you know, who am I to say how this game is going to go when they've only won all their games so far?
You know, you were gone when Vince and I were talking about it yesterday in rapid fire. Would you have been ticked off if you were Al Golden and Virginia called that timeout at the end of the game to score the touchdown at the end?
Oh, 100%. There was no, you know, especially that's, I'm just going to say it. I understand you're still trying to develop guys, but I am not on board for, you know, running a full-fledged, when Notre Dame's got second and third string guys in there on defense and you're already up 4 scores. Like, I guess I just don't understand. I get it. You're not trying to give up, but I don't understand like going out of your way to try to score points. Like, the game is relatively out of hand, I guess.
I mean, Notre Dame put on film the week before that they were, you know, even with their second string offense in there, which I have no problem with. You know, Steve Angeli threw a touchdown pass to Deion Colsey. And Marcus Freeman kept Riley Leonard in against Virginia into the fourth quarter, right? They could have easily pulled him, but they kept him in. So I've got no problem with it. You know, like I said yesterday, if you don't have a problem with Steve Angeli throwing a late touchdown, you know, to make it 45, I guess, at that point, because the interception made it 52, the pick six by Talich made it 52. If you don't have a problem with that, I can't have a problem with Virginia. You know, they've got timeouts at their disposal, and you know, they're trying to play it too. They're trying to, like, they've got two tough games coming up over the next couple of weeks. So I think that just from a mental standpoint, you know, I don't think that he could afford to back down. They're still trying to become bowl eligible and all that.
No, I completely understand.
I didn't have a problem with it. Like, if I'm Al Golden, you know, again, you know, like, there's a difference. If I'm Al Golden and I'm strictly the defensive coordinator, I would be too. It's like, come on, are you kidding me? They're calling freaking.
Well, yeah, and that's I guess I'm like means and methods, you know, like.
Right.
I don't need a team like, you know, say they're down, what is it, 28, and there's like 6 minutes left on the clock, and they're just airing this thing out consistently, incomplete. Now we're punting, you know what I mean? It's just like no game. But then also, too, like, I get running your offense, but like, don't be going for it on fourth and 10, and don't call timeouts or, you know, kick a field goal with 10 seconds left just to get some points on the board. Like, the ticket, that's the stuff where I'm like, are we just trying to put points on the board, or are we actually trying to develop our offense? And
like Syracuse kicking the field goal the last time Notre Dame was at Yankee Stadium to avoid the shutout.
Right. You know? That's what I mean. So just, you know, just how you go about it, right? Are you really trying to work on things, or are you just trying to put some points on the board to make yourself feel better at the end of the day?
Yeah. I get that perspective.
But it's like, it's hard for me to be in those shoes, because I know I'm petty. And if I was getting blown out by a coach, I would be like, F you, I'm trying to find a way to score, you know, no matter what. So it's like,
right.
It's a hard line for me to just sit up here and be like, you know what? I do this because I'm an extremely competitive and petty person at the end of the day. And so if I could get a jab at you, more than likely, I'm going to get a jab at you.
DK's calling you. That's exactly it. You know, play to the final whistle, play till there's no time left on the clock. So I've got no problem with it either way. You know, again, like, it might just tick me off even more, you know, and you do kind of open yourself up to that kind of stuff when that happens. But all right, I'm gonna see if I can work my way through some more of this continued congestion that I've got.